Hare Krishna, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Jai. Adanta Koti Vaishnavindi.
Jai.
Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki.
Jai.
Fame Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti.
Jai.
Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gokunya. Sham Kun Radha Kunigiri Gurdhan Ki.
Jai.
Vrindavan Tham Ki.
Jai.
Dik Tham Ki.
Jai.
Jagannath Puri ki
jai,
Gauramayi ki
jai,
Manamayi ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki
jai,
Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki
jai,
all glories to His
name,
all glories to His
name,
all glories to His
name,
Gaur Premanande. For the benefit of those who may have come a little later, let's do a second mobile check. All mobiles, sub-mobile money. And I think maybe men can shift a little bit this way because more people come from this side and that side is partly empty. In the back. Shift, Gigi. More people are, the door is on that side, yes? So people will come maybe from that side, and then they're out in Never Never Land. Still, you can do more of a wholesale shift, a little bit more at this side, to the back, second row, second from the back, your row. And still the Matajis have space, yeah? Okay. Yeah, if anyone wants space up front also, we have. We have some. Yeah, I think actually we don't have too much more space for the men because the ladies will need space too. And for noisy kids, we have extra space in Dubai. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Pinitam Dena Asmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kada Maitam Adhati Sapanantikam Pandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Pada Kamadam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sahagratam Sahagana Vaganatam Mitam Tam Sativam Sadvaitam Shavadutam Krishna Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vidam Sham E Krishna Krishna Sinto Dina Bandho Vipakate Govyesha Govika Kanda Radha Kanda Namaste Rakta Kanda Radhe Vrindavan Shri Vrishabha Because Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is approaching, we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Tonight we'll read from Madhya Lila chapter 8, simply because yesterday we read from Madhya chapter 7. This chapter 8 is very significant. It deals with the meeting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Ramananda Roy and their discussions. We won't read the entire discussion, it becomes rather confidential, but we have enough to keep us busy. And I'll sometimes read and sometimes summarize, and we'll go on like that. Kaviraj Goswami begins by saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the ocean of all conclusive knowledge in devotional service, and that Ramananda Roy was like a cloud who captured the meaning of devotional service and was empowered to spread it on the ocean of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. The Lord Chaitanya has been touring South India. He was in Jagannath Puri, and he begged his devotees that I want to go to South India on tour for preaching. And he set off. Yesterday he'd gone as far as Kurukshetra, which is Andhra Pradesh near Vishakhapatnam, near Rajmundri. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went forward on his tour and after some days arrived at the place known as Jyada Nrisingha. That's near Vishakhapatnam, about 5 miles from Vishakhapatnam. That's the deity of Lord Nrisingadeva. Upon seeing the deity, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his respectful obeisances by falling flat. Then, in ecstatic love, he performed various dances and chanted and offered prayers. Prema veshe koilo bahu nitrikita stuti. He chanted, Sri Nrisingha Jaya Nrisingha Jaya Jaya Nrisingha Praladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Vrinda. All glories to Lord Nrisingadev, the Lord of Prahlad Maharaj. Like a honeybee, he's always engaged in beholding the lotus-like face of the goddess of fortune. Then Kaviraj Goswami quotes a verse written by Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami is the original commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam. And his worshipable deity was Lord Nrisingadev. He wrote, Ugro pyanugra evayam svabhaktanam rakeshari Keshariva Supodanam Anyesham Ugrapikramaha. Although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisimhadev is very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited different verses from Shastra, and the pujari, the priest of Lord Nrisimhadev, brought garlands and the remnants of Lord Nrisimhadev's food and offered them to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And a Brahmin offered the Lord an invitation, so the Lord passed the night in the temple and then began his touring again. The next morning, in the great ecstasy of love, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started on his tour with no knowledge of the proper direction, and he continued the whole day and night. So prema-vesha means he was absorbed in love of Krishna, so he was just going. And somehow Krishna was giving direction where to go. He didn't worry about it. And he kept going the whole day and night with his tour. As before, he converted to Vaishnavism many people he met on the road. That we discussed yesterday. He would meet people and he would be chanting and dancing and he would embrace people and request them, please chant Hare Krishna, please chant Hare Krishna. And people would become enlivened in devotional service. They'd begin chanting Hare Krishna, they'd become pure devotees, and they'd request the next person, please chant Hare Krishna. So in this way, please chant Hare Krishna was spreading in every direction. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This was Lord Chaitanya's program, chanting and dancing, and everywhere inspiring others to chant Hare Krishna and dance in ecstasy. So in this way, he was going on, and after some days, he reached the banks of the river Godavari. When he saw the Godavari, the Lord remembered the river Jamuna. And when he saw the forest on the banks of the river, he remembered Sri Vrindavan Dham. After performing his usual chanting and dancing for some time in this forest, the Lord crossed the river and took his bath on the other bank. Then the Lord walked a little distance from the bathing place and chanted the holy name of Krishna. At this time, so Lord Chaitanya, there he is, he's chanting and he's dancing and he's not considering any direction. He's absorbed in the ecstasy of love of Krishna. And at this time, he heard the sounds of music and Ramananda Roy came there on a palanquin to take his bath. And many Brahmins following the Vedic principles were with him. And Ramananda Roy took his bath according to Vedic rituals and offered oblations to the forefathers. And Lord Chaitanya could understand that the person who had come to bathe in the river was Ramananda Roy. This Ramananda Roy was the governor of what, Madras State? I think so. He was the governor. Generally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would avoid political men. And besides that, Ramananda Roy was coming from a lower social strata. So it was expected that Lord Chaitanya really wouldn't have anything to do with such a person. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the Lord's intimate associate in Jagannath Puri, had requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when you go to South India, be sure you meet Ramananda Roy. Don't neglect him thinking that he's you know, some kind of unwanted person. He's completely absorbed in the conclusive truths of devotional service. So be sure that you meet him. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to meet him so much that his mind immediately began running after him. But although running after him mentally, he remained sitting patiently. And Ramananda Roy, seeing this wonderful sannyasi, came to see him. Ramananda Roy saw that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was as brilliant as 100 suns. The Lord was covered by a saffron garment. He was large in body, strongly built, and his eyes were like lotus petals. Seeing this wonderful sannyasi, he was struck with wonder. He went to him and at once offered respectful obeisances, falling down flat like a rod. The Lord stood up and asked him to arise and chant the holy name of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya, in his heart, was very eager to embrace him. He then asked whether Ramananda Roy, whether this person, are you Ramananda Roy? And Ramananda Roy, yes, I am your very low servant and I belong to the Shudra community. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him very firmly, and both master and servant almost lost consciousness in ecstatic love. Their natural love for each other was awakened in both of them, and they embraced and fell to the ground. When they embraced each other, the ecstatic symptoms appeared. Paralysis, perspiration, tears, shivering, paleness, standing up of the hairs on the body. And the word Krishna came falteringly from their mouths. These are the symptoms of advanced love for Krishna. Stamba sveda ashrutamba kulata samarnya duhar muketi shani kankana krishna. These are the symptoms of advanced love for Krishna. And they, what happened? Who just turned up the volume or something? Now it's too much. Hare Krishna. Now it's too much. This is like Carnegie Hall or something. I don't know yet. Let's see. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. How is it in the back?
It's okay.
It's set properly when it sounds like it's not an amplified voice, when it sounds natural and everyone can hear that it's properly set. So these symptoms appear from the mode of pure goodness in which there's pure love for Krishna. But these symptoms can also be imitated by cheaters. There are professional men or just outright cheaters who can imitate these symptoms. A little chilly in the corner of the eye and suddenly tears of love start rolling down your cheeks. Then by practice, they can imitate these symptoms of shivering, and then they roll on the ground and then they cry, and then when it's over they have a cigarette. So this kind of cheating is not wanted. Therefore, the acharyas have given more emphasis on the symptoms of detachment from materialistic life. Because the symptoms of ecstasy can be imitated, it's harder to imitate the symptom of material detachment. (Clears throat) But in this case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Bhagavan himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Ramananda Roy was a pure devotee. So their symptoms were genuine. Then there were all these Brahmins who'd come with Ramananda Roy, and they were stereotyped ritualistic Brahmins, Vedic Brahmins. You know, they come there to chant the mantras and to do some rituals, and first you throw 3 drops of water this way, then you throw 3 drops of water this way, then you chant this, then you chant that, then you turn to the north, and then you turn to the south, and you do this, and you do that. All pretty much ritualistic sort of thing. So that's the kind of people they were. They were expert in performing Vedic rituals, but not more than that. So when they saw the ecstatic manifestation of love in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, they were struck with wonder. And they began to reflect. We see that this sannyasi has a luster like the effulgence of Brahma, the impersonal effulgence. But how is it that he's crying upon embracing a Shudra? Ramananda Roy is the governor of Madras, a highly learned and grave person, a great pundit, but upon touching this sannyasi, he's become restless like a madman. So they were bewildered on both sides, that here's this person who's a very effulgent sannyasi, but why is he touching a Shudra? They're ritualistic Brahmins. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't touch a Shudra that way, embrace a Shudra. And here's the governor of Madras, who's normally a very, like an IAS kind of officer. And he's experiencing he's showing these symptoms of losing himself. So they were, what's this? While the Brahmins were thinking in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw those outsiders and restrained his transcendental emotions. So these Brahmins were not pure devotees, so they were considered outsiders, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore restrained his ecstatic feelings. When the Lord and Ramananda Roy regained their sanity, they both sat down, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and smiled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and began to speak. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke of your good qualities, and he made a great endeavor to convince me to meet you. I've come here just to meet you. It's very good that even without making an effort, I've gotten your darshan. Ramananda Roy replied, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thinks of me as his servant. Even in my absence, he is very careful to do me good. By his mercy, I've received your darshan, so I consider that today I've become a successful human being. I see that you've bestowed your special mercy upon Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Therefore, you've touched me, although I'm untouchable. This is due only to his love for you. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan himself, and I'm only a government servant interested in materialistic activities. Indeed, I'm a Shudra, the lowest among men, the fourth caste. But you don't fear the Vedic injunctions, stating that you shouldn't associate with the Shudra. You weren't contemptuous of touching me, although in the Vedas you are forbidden to associate with Shudras. And here Srila Prabhupada quotes from Bhagavad Gita, Mam hi parthivi apashritya, ye visyu papa yonya, striyo vaishastita Shudras, te piyanti prahagatim. And Krishna doesn't consider who's a Shudra, who's a Brahmin, who's a woman, who's this, who's that. Anyone who takes shelter of Krishna can attain the supreme destination. Krishna consciousness is a very simple process. One need only chant the holy names of the Lord and strictly follow the principles forbidding sinful activity. In this way, one can no longer be considered an untouchable Abhishayi or a Shudra. Ramananda Roy continues, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Therefore, no one can understand your purpose. By your mercy, you are touching me, although this is not sanctioned by the Vedas. Prabhupada comments that the sannyasi is strictly forbidden to see Vishayis, materialistic people. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his boundless and causeless mercy, could show favor to anyone, regardless of birth and position. Ramananda Roy continued, you've come here specifically to deliver me. You're so merciful that you alone can deliver all the fallen souls. Saintly people generally deliver the fallen, therefore they go to people's houses, although they have no personal business there. And then this is confirmed by Srimad Bhagavatam. Mahad vichalanam rinam grihinam dina chetasam nishreyasaya bhagavan nanyata gopate kuche. Sometimes great saintly persons go to the homes of householders, although these householders are generally low-minded. When a saintly person visits their homes, one can understand that it's for no other purpose than to benefit the householders. This is the characteristic of a real saintly person. A person who's not so saintly goes to the homes of householders just to milk them. But a genuine saintly person, he's not interested. He has everything he needs by the grace of Krishna, because he hardly needs anything. So he has no need to flatter the materialistic person. He goes to the homes of the householders, therefore, just for their benefit. That's his real purpose.
Here's a saffron. Saffron.
Ramananda Roy said, along with me there are about 1,000 men, including the Brahmins, and they all appear to have had their hearts melted simply by seeing you. I hear everyone chanting the holy name of Krishna. Everyone's body is thrilled with ecstasy, and there are tears in everyone's eyes. By your behavior and bodily features, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's impossible for ordinary living beings to possess such transcendental qualities. So Ramananda Roy was a very learned person in the science of devotional service. And he was not the kind of person to accept someone sentimentally as God. Now it's become common that so many people announce themselves God, and so many fools accept them as God by some sentiment. God, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was accepted by such learned devotees as Ramananda Roy. Even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only after overcoming great skepticism. At first he thought, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came into the Jagannath temple and fainted in ecstasy before Lord Jagannath. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a very senior person, and he first tested, what's going on here? Because anyone can enter the Jagannath temple and, oh, make a show of ecstasy and cry and fall and lose consciousness before the deity and make a big show. And those kind of people are useless. That's just, you know, Broadway, Bollywood, that's all it is. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fainted in ecstasy, took a little cotton swab and put it by the nostrils of the Lord and saw that he's breathing just very faintly. And by other, you know, forensic investigation, he saw that, no, he's actually in genuine trance. So he ordered his men to bring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home. And then they had some discussions. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw that this is a young man, very beautiful, and he's taken sannyas. And he thought, how will this young, beautiful man maintain his sannyas? Because young, beautiful men are attractive to young, beautiful women. So how will he keep his renounced order? And especially since he's only singing and dancing. And, you know, where's the philosophy? You have to have strong philosophical understanding. Otherwise, you'll be overcome by materialistic life. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, out of a kind of affection in the mood of like an uncle, he offered to teach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Vedanta philosophy. So they were sitting, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was instructing him for so many days. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just hearing. And after some days, Sarvabhauma said, you're hearing, but you're not asking any questions. Generally, the students would ask some questions, but you're not asking anything. Why is that? So Lord Chaitanya said, yes, actually, I'm not asking any questions because I don't follow your explanations at all. The sutras I can understand, they're very clear. Their meaning is self-evident. But your explanations are like clouds that cover the meaning of the sutras. I don't understand what you're saying. It's very hard to understand your explanations. Sutras I can understand, your explanations. So, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this in a very polite way. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, all right, then what's your understanding? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the Vedanta Sutras so brilliantly that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was like a professor of Vedic knowledge, the sannyasis used to come to him to learn Vedanta Sutra. He was so learned. But when he heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's explanation, then he saw, oh, here's the actual understanding of the Vedanta. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was mostly singing and dancing. But when he met a great scholar like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, then he would discuss philosophy and the meaning of the Vedic literature. So both Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy were unsentimental. They were learned men, but they both accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now Lord Chaitanya is replying to Ramananda Roy. Prabhu kahe, tumi maha bhagavatottama, tomar darshane shabar drava hailoma. Sir, you're the best of the topmost devotees. Therefore, simply the sight of you has melted everyone's heart. Although I am a Mayavadi sannyasi, a non-devotee, I am also floating in the ocean of love of Krishna simply by touching you. And what to speak of others? Lord Chaitanya, as his pastime, accepted sannyas from Keshav Bharati, who was in the Shankara Sampradaya. He was not in the line of Vaishnavas. He was in the line of the impersonals. So, that was Lord Chaitanya's tactic, because he wanted to attract the minds of these impersonal Mayavadis. So he joined their school. He apparently became a member of their party so that they would respect him. He accepted sannyas in their line. So he calls himself here a Mayavadi sannyasi, although in fact he was Krishna himself playing the role of a pure devotee. So here he says, I'm just a Mayavadi sannyasi, but by your influence I'm also feeling some love for Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya knew this would happen, so to rectify my heart, which is very hard, he asked me to meet you. So in this way, each of them praised the qualities of the other, and both of them were pleased to see each other. So, at this time, a Brahmin Vaishnav, following the Vedic principles, came and offered obeisances. He fell flat before the Lord and invited him for lunch. So Lord Chaitanya accepted the invitation because he knew that the Brahmin was a devotee. And then he spoke to Ramananda Roy. By the way, while we're thinking of it, any newcomers, you can do a mobile check. Turn off your mobiles, please. And I think, again, we can shift left to men on this side, because people are stuck over on this side. All the way to the wall. All the way to the wall. Okay. This way I get to see everyone. My spiritual benefit. It sounds like they found a fun place for the kids upstairs. So any kids who are feeling bored stiff with this lecture, which is a perfectly natural way for a kid to feel, or rebellious and resentful at being stuck in such an assembly, can join the fun upstairs. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Ramananda Roy, I wish to hear from you about Lord Krishna. My mind is inclined to desire this, so I wish to see you again. Ramananda Roy replied, My Lord, although you've come to correct me, a fallen soul, my mind is not yet purified simply by seeing you. Please stay for 5 or 7 days and cleanse my polluted mind. After that much time, my mind will certainly be pure. I'm so much benefit I'm getting just by seeing you, but it's not enough. I need to see more of you. 5 or 7 days at least, please stay. So although neither could tolerate separation from the other, Ramananda Roy offered his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and departed. And Lord Chaitanya went to the house of that Brahmin who had invited him and took his lunch. And then when the evening arrived, they were both eager, Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, to meet one another again. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finished his evening bath, he sat down and waited for Ramananda Roy to come. Then he came, accompanied by one servant. He approached Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, offered respectful obeisances, and the Lord embraced him. Then they began to discuss Krishna in a secluded place. And here, Prabhupada comments on this, that this secluded place is very significant. Because they were going to talk about Krishna and his pastimes, and especially the confidential pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, his dealings with the gopis. And this is all very confidential. This is not a subject matter for public discussion. Because those who have no understanding of the transcendental nature of Krishna's pastimes always commit great offenses, thinking Krishna an ordinary human being, and the gopis ordinary girls. Following this principle, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement are enjoined not to discuss the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan in public. For the general public, Sankirtan. And, if possible, Bhagavad Gita, the principles there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed this very strictly. He discussed Bhagavad Gita with learned scholars like Sarvabhauma and Prakashananda Saraswati. He taught the principles of the bhakti cult with students like Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. And he discussed with Ramananda Roy the topmost devotional dealings between Krishna and the gopis. For the general public, he performed Sankirtan very vigorously. So we should also follow these principles. These confidential topics of Krishna and his pastimes are not for general throwing around and general talk. Because everyone will think, no matter how many times you tell them, oh, this is something like Krishna's an ordinary person and he's enjoying with ordinary girls. They'll misunderstand. So this is not our propaganda to talk about Radha Krishna and the gopis and all of these confidential topics. That's reserved. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy were there with all these Vaidic Brahmins, they didn't sit down and talk about these things. But later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with Ramananda Roy privately, and in this association, they discussed these topics. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with so many other devotees, didn't talk about these things. Ramananda Roy was a very advanced, most advanced devotee. And therefore, with Ramananda Roy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed these things. It's said that Lord Chaitanya only talked about these things with 3.5 devotees. Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar, Shiki Mahiti and Shiki Mahiti's sister. She's the half. Though they were all the most intimate devotees of Lord Chaitanya, and only with them did Lord Chaitanya discuss these most confidential topics that weren't for general discussion. So now their discussion is going to begin in proper. And let's see. We don't have a lot of time, do we? Should we move into this? Talk about some of these topics that they're discussing? Okay. What's going to happen here? Well, we'll see what's going to happen here. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Ramananda Roy, recite a verse from the revealed scriptures concerning the ultimate goal of life. Prabhu kahe parashloka sadhyar nirnoy. Sadhya, what is the ultimate goal of life? You can really cut things quickly. If you meet a person, he's following this teacher, following that teacher, this philosophy, this yogi, this swami, you can ask a very quick question and get to the bottom of things. What does he say is the ultimate goal of life? And the second question is, what's the method to achieve it? This is, you know, like shortcut. Like I know business people, they can ask two or three questions and understand everything about your business. It's just question. You just have to ask the right questions. Two or three questions and they know how much profit you're making, how well your business is going, everything they can understand in two or three questions. So similarly, you can understand everything about where a person's spiritual life is. What's the goal of life? What's the way to achieve it? So Lord Chaitanya asked, please recite a verse from Shastra about the ultimate goal of life. Lord Chaitanya wasn't interested in saying, well, what's your opinion? What do you think? Please recite a verse from Shastra about the ultimate goal of life. Roy kahe swadharma charane Vishnu bhakti vai. Ramananda Roy replied, if one performs the prescribed duties of the social position, he awakens his original Krishna consciousness. And he quoted, Varnashrama charavaka purushena parapuman Vishnura rajyate panta nanyata toshakara. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in Varna and Ashram. There's no other way to satisfy the Lord. One must be situated in this system. So he's saying, you have to do your duty as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or as Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. By following your prescribed duty, you'll awaken your love for Krishna. That's what he's saying here. Very important that you follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Prabhu kahe, eho bhaya, age kaha ar. So this is what Lord Chaitanya will say to every suggestion that Ramananda Roy makes. Eho bhaya. This is external. Superficial. Say something more. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took it that this is not the essence, simply to follow these duties in the Varnashram system. This is essentially an external thing. So tell me something better. Roy kahe Krishne Karmarpana Sarvasanjasar. Ramananda Roy said, to offer the results of one's activities to Krishna is the essence of all perfection. So now we're going beyond Varnashram. He says, no, alright, something higher. Offer the results of all your activities to Krishna. Yat karoshi, yat ashnashi, yat shuhoshi, didasi, yat. Yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat purusha madarpana. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, whatever tapasya you do, do it all for me, Krishna says. And what does Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Eho bahya age kaya. If this is external, please say something further. Roy Kohe, Swadharma Tyag, A Sajasar. All right, to give up one's occupational duties in the Varnashram system is the essence of perfection. So first he says, to perform your duties is the essence of perfection. Then he says, to offer your duties to Krishna is the essence. Then he says, to give up your prescribed duties for Krishna. So that's still higher. For the ordinary man, just to perform your duties and gradually, as a dutiful person, make progress in religious life. But more advanced than that is to directly offer the results of our activities to Krishna. But then someone says, well, that's just basically doing your work and giving Krishna the result. But higher than that is to give up your material engagement and engage in Krishna's service. Agyayayavam gunando sharam maya dishtan api svakam dharman santyajya yasarvam mam bhajet sat chasattamaha. And here he's quoting authority, basically saying this is the thing to do. Sarva dharman pratyajya mam ekam sharam praja aham tvam sarva bhapejo mokshirishyam. Krishna says, give up all your religious duties, occupational duties, and just take shelter of me. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eho Bhaya. This is external. Age Kahar. Say something more. Roy Kahe, Ganamishra Bhaktis, Sajyasar. All right, there's something more. Jnana Mishra Bhakti, devotional service mixed with empiric knowledge. Jnana. Brahmabhuta prasannatma nashochati nakangshati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktin labhate prana. So he's supporting his statement from Bhagavad Gita. In that verse, a person who accepts the idea of monism, being always engaged in empirical, philosophical discussions about spiritual life, becomes joyful and free from all material lamentation and hankering. He's equipoised, he sees all living beings as spiritual, and then he can attain pure devotional service. So devotional service mixed with fruitive activity, which is what's been talked about so far, is inferior to spiritual service based on empiric philosophical discussion. And that's Ramananda's proposition. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is external, say something more. Roy Kahe, Jnana Shunya Bhakti, Sajyasar. Pure devotional service without any touch of speculative knowledge is the essence of perfection. And he quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, Jnane Prayasam Udupasya Namanta Eva. Jivanti san mukaritan bhavadiya bhartan stane stita shutigatan tanuban mano bhir ye prayaso jita jitopyasi taistri kyam. This is a prayer by Lord Brahma. He says, my dear Lord, those devotees who've thrown away the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, and have therefore abandoned discussing empiric philosophical truths, should hear from self-realized devotees about your holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities. They should completely follow the principles of devotional service and remain free from illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and animal slaughter, surrendering themselves fully with body, words, and mind. They can live in any ashram or social status. Indeed, you are conquered by such persons, although you are always unconquerable. So that's the next proposition by Ramananda Roy. And what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? No. Eho hoy. This is right. Jnana shunya bhakti. Devotional service without any touch of philosophical speculation or sense gratification. Jnana karma jnanavritam. Anukulyena kushina. Pure devotional service, nothing else. Eohai, this is right. Age kahar, but still you could say something more. The other things were just external. Now we're getting to the right, we're in the right place. But you can say more about it. Roy kohe, prema bhakti sarvasajyasar. So Ramananda Roy said, prema bhakti, ecstatic love for Krishna, is the essence of all perfection. And he quotes from Shastra to support that. He quotes two verses. The second verse is, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita amati kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate tatra loyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukritar nalabhyate. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness can't be had even by pious activity performed for thousands of lives. You can get it only by paying one price, and that's intense greed to obtain it. If it's available somewhere, purchase it without delay. If they're selling Krishna consciousness in the marketplace, buy it. Then, what's the price? The price is your greed to have it. Prabhupada said that he picked up the name International Society for Krishna Consciousness from this verse. Sri Krishna Bhavanamrita, Antarastriya Sri Bhavanamrita Sangha. From this verse. Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Amati. Consciousness absorbed in Krishna. Oh, if it's there, get it. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Eohoi, Age Kaha. This is all right. Now, please tell me something more. Roy Kaha, Dasya Prema Sarvasa Jusa. Yes, spontaneous loving service in servitude, as exchanged between master and servant, is the highest perfection. He quotes again two verses. One verse is from Jamunacharya, Bhavantam evanu charan nirantara prashanta nishesha mano vatantara kadaha maya kantika nitya kinkara praharshiyashyami sanavajivita. By serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a perfect master? Prabhu kahe, eho hoy, kichu agayar. Yes, that's right, but Kichuvagi, something. There must be something more. Must be something more. Roy Kohei, Sakya Prema, Sarva Sajasa. Yes, loving service to Krishna rendered in friendship. Ittam Sakam Pamasukanu Putya Dasyam Gatanam Padadayavatena Mayashritanam Nadadarakena Sardham Vajahru Kritapunya Punja. Neither those engaged, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, neither those engaged in the self-realization of appreciating the impersonal Brahman effulgence of the Lord, nor those engaged in devotional service, accepting Krishna as their master, nor those under the clutches of Maya, thinking the Lord an ordinary person, can understand that certain exalted persons, after accumulating heaps and heaps of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord as friends, as cowherd boys. These cowherd boys who are playing with Krishna are not ordinary human beings. They're very exalted souls who performed enormous pious activities in order to be so fortunate as to associate with Krishna as his intimate friends. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Eho Uttam, is very good. Age Kahar. Say something more. Roy Kohe Vatsalya Prem, Sarva Sajasa. Yes, loving service to the Lord in the parental relationship. And again he quotes two verses. One of them, Namam Virincho Napavo, Nashrirapyanga Sangshaya, Prasadam Lebhire Gopi, Yattat Prapa Vimuktidat. The favor that Mother Yashoda obtained from Sri Krishna, the bestower of liberation, was never obtained even by Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who always stays on the chest of Lord Vishnu. Mother Yashoda is so exalted. Nandake makarod brahman shreya eva mahodayam Yashoda va mahabhaga papo yasya stanam harihi. What pious activities did Nanda Maharaj perform by which he received the Supreme Lord Krishna as his son? And what pious activities did Mother Yashoda perform that made the absolute Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, call her mother and suck her breast? Very exalted, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Prabhu kohe, hey uttam, age kahar, roy kohe, kanta prema, sarva sajasar. This is getting better and better. But there has to be something still more sublime. So Ramananda Roy said, conjugal love for Krishna. And again he quotes the Shastra. When Lord Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Raslila, the transcendental favor bestowed upon them was never given even to the goddess of fortune. Or the other, the wives of the Lord in the spiritual world. Nor was it even imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and aroma are like the beauty and fragrance of lotus flowers. And what to speak of worldly women, who may be very beautiful according to material estimation. So these Ramananda Roy says, there are various means and methods by which one may attain the favor of Lord Krishna, all of them will be studied from the viewpoint of comparative importance. It's true that whatever relationship a particular devotee has with the Lord is the best for him. Still, when we study all the different methods from a neutral position, we can understand that there are higher and lower degrees of love. There's a gradual order of improvement in transcendental mellows. In each mellow, each relationship, there's an additional quality. There's one, and then two, and then three, up to five complete qualities. So this has been discussed at length in Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Srila Sanatana Goswami. He says, in summary, that every relationship with Krishna is absolutely perfect. There's no distinction of higher and lower. Higher and lower is for the material world. You know, he's the president, and he's the secretary, and he's the first executive officer, and, you know, people have all these little things after their name to show them where they are. And that has no place in the spiritual world. Everyone is perfectly situated. Everyone is equally loved by Krishna. Everyone's exalted. There's no duality in the spiritual world. But from another angle of vision, there are, in the different relationships, there's a higher quality. There are extra qualities that are found in some of the relationships that are not found in other relationships. And they increase from servanthood to friendship to parental love and conjugal love. The qualities become more and more full. At the same time, that it's true that all the devotees are equally good. So this is the nature of the spiritual world. The analytically, we can appreciate that there's superiority in certain relationships. At the same time, that we don't think he's higher, he's lower. It's described, in fact, that there's no envy in the spiritual world. There's no feeling, oh man, I only got to be a cowherd boy. How do I get to be, you know, next roll up? You know, maybe I could be promoted, a few more pious. There's nothing like that. How come I only got to be this and she got to be that? There's no envy. It's described that the goddesses of fortune are in Vaikuntha, are chanting the glories of the Lord, and the bees are also chanting the glories of the Lord. And the goddesses of fortune stop chanting to hear what the bees are chanting. They don't think, oh, bees, give me a break. Who do they think they are? We're the goddesses of fortune. No. They appreciate that these bees are also glorifying the Lord. So they're very exalted. This is the nature of the spiritual world. The material world, I always want to look for, because of false ego, I'm always looking for, well, he may be this, but I'm this. Well, all right, he may have gotten the post, but I'm more qualified. Or he may be slightly more qualified, but I'm more humble. Somehow we're always thinking about how we're better. And the others are lower. Because that's one way to get higher. If I drag others down, then I go up in material estimation. But in the spiritual world, the mentality is appreciation. The devotees all appreciate the service rendered by the other devotees. There's no tinge of envy or any desire to drag anyone else down or criticize others. There's just appreciation. These devotees are serving Krishna so nicely. Maybe there's competition. They're serving Krishna so nicely. I'd like to do something more nice. But that's to please Krishna. And that's with appreciation. Oh, they've done something wonderful. They've done something wonderful. So these topics are still further elaborated by Ramananda Roy in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But this evening we'll stop here. The book is there. It's only 15 volumes or something like that. It's a big, big book. There's lots of scientific knowledge about the science of devotional service and lots of nectar from the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. What Lord Chaitanya came to give is found in these books. Otherwise, one can find the same gift in the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.
All right. Are there any questions?
Ramana Raya first gave about the occupational duty. The Lord rejected it. And then he told about the Yatkaroshi. Then he said, even Sar Dharman Pratidya, then Lord rejected it. So, an external everything. But when he's saying that these cowherd boys, Krit Punya Punja, that they have done a lot of pious activities, so it is coming in the internal thread. So how by doing the pious activity one can occupy the position of the whereas Lord has even rejected Sadharman.
Lord Chaitanya rejected first the performing one's prescribed duties, then he rejected offering one's duties to Krishna, then he rejected giving up one's duties for the satisfaction of Krishna. When he rejected all of these things as external, then why is he appreciating these coward boys as having performed punya punja, heaps and heaps of pious activity? The krita punya punja, their pious activity can't be the ordinary pious activity of the varnashram system. What happens if you perform varnashram? If you follow these principles of varnashram dharma perfectly, for 1,000 births, without any mistake, you can become Lord Brahma. You can become Lord. Now that's quite something. But that's nothing like playing with Krishna as a coward. Even Lord Brahma was bewildered seeing how Krishna was playing with these coward boys. He found them in Bhagavatam. He thought, what is this? He challenged Krishna. He stole the boys. So he was thinking maybe Krishna, he didn't understand fully Krishna's nature. But by pious activities one may become Brahma. That's really the highest you can go by pious activities. Brahma is the topmost pious living being in the universe. No one is more pious than Lord Brahma. So pious that he's been placed in charge. Krishna has placed him in charge of the whole universe, of all the living beings within it. So the pious activities performed by the coward boys must be transcendental activities of pure devotional service. That's also sometimes considered pious activity, but that's transcendental pious activity. That's not the piety of the material world. By no amount of pious activity can one actually get pure devotional service.
Bhagat, you said that envious is only for this planet.
In this world. The higher planets, they have it also.
But the gopis had this vow. They were two wings of Chandravati.
Any envy that we see in the spiritual world is not actually envy. Sometimes it appears that there's some envy, but that's not actually envy. That's the arrangement of Krishna's pastime energy for increasing the pleasure of the Lord.
Because it's everything connected with Krishna, that's kept
transcendental. It's connected with Krishna. And actually, there are nature is to appreciate the service of the other devotees. It's not on the level of envy. Sometimes it looks like there's some envy in the spiritual world, and it's not. Just like sometimes it looks like there's all the rotten things in the material world. Sometimes seem like they're there in the material, in the spiritual world. Sometimes it seems like there's competition. Like the competition of this material world, you know, in business and in military affairs, in personal achievement, there's competition. So it seems like it's there in the spiritual world, but actually it's not. There's competition. There's what looks like competition here. But the competition there is the real thing. And the competition here is the perverted reflection of the real thing. The competition there is pure competition to please Krishna. And the competition here is polluted competition to please myself. So one thing is pure, the other thing is polluted. There's parenthood in the spiritual world. Mother Yashoda has the sentiment of being the mother of Krishna. There's motherhood in the material world, and although it's considered very pure, actually it's contaminated because it's in the bodily conception of life. It's based on, you know, my body is connected with your body and I'm not this body. So the whole thing is based on illusion. And on the basis of that illusion, material attachment. This is my son, this is my daughter, this is my mother, this is my this, this, that. This is all Maya because I'm not this body. And so often, also there's some material sentiment that the boy will grow up and he'll take care of his parents and he'll earn very nicely. And we're thinking of what they'll do for me. So there's some material contamination, even in such fine sentiments as motherhood in the material world. But in the spiritual world, that sentiment is completely pure. It's completely pure. It's also, you can say it's an illusion, because Yashodamayi never gives birth to Krishna. And Krishna, anyway, is the origin of everything. So how can he be anyone's son? But the basis of the relationship is actually the ultimate reality. What is that ultimate reality? Love for Krishna. It's based upon pure love and affection for Krishna. So what we see in the spiritual world is the perfect version of what we see in a distorted form in the material world. So we shouldn't mistake one thing for the other. Kaviraj Goswami compares it to mistaking iron for gold. Alright, they're both metals, but that doesn't mean that if you have some iron, it has the same value as gold. But people mistake it. They see Krishna dancing with the gopis, they see people dancing in, you know, clubs in the material world, and they think, well, it's pretty much the same thing. No. One is iron and one is gold. One is based on pure love for the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, and the other is based on sense gratification and the mundane bodily concept of life under the illusory energy. So they may look superficially to be the same, just as gold and iron may look the same, or those, you know, little shiny gold bracelets made of plastic may look like gold bangles, but they're not the same thing. The value, you know, you try and sell your plastic bangles, how much are you going to get for them? The gold bangle has so much more value, it's a different thing entirely. So what we see in the spiritual world and what we see in the material world are vastly different.
How do you identify ourselves to what bhav we are into?
How do we identify ourselves, what bhav we're into, what our relationship is with Krishna? That will come automatically in the purified stage. at the present moment were affected by kam, krodh, lobh, mada, moha, matsarja. And therefore we can't see. We're practicing to love Krishna or to develop attraction to Krishna by chanting, by reading, by following some sadhana. But we still have some connection with the material world, some attraction, to be honest, to the material world. And I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but some beautiful girl walks by. But my heart is not free from material contamination. And as long as the heart is not pure, I won't actually understand what my relationship is with Krishna. These things develop in Vishuddha Sattva, in the state of absolute purity of heart. Vishuddha Sattva, pure goodness. Otherwise, if we try to understand these things before we reach pure goodness, it's a kind of mental concoction. It's something like a young girl putting on her mother's shoes and dressing up like an adult. She can do it, but it doesn't mean anything. She's not an adult. She's a kid wearing her mother's shoes and her mother's makeup or whatever it is. So it doesn't mean anything. But when she grows up, then automatically she'll be a beautiful young woman. Everything will be there. So in the present stage of material conditioning, we may think, oh, I'd like to be a cowherd boy, or I'd like to be a gopi, or I think that I'd like to be this or that. It doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. But in the purified stage, automatically these things will be revealed. What is my relationship with Krishna? What's my particular attraction to Krishna? We can't accelerate it by wishing. We have to actually develop the qualification by purifying the heart. How is that? By chanting, by hearing, by the process given by Ramananda Roy, accepted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jnana, prayasa, mudapasa, nimantara, giving up mental speculation, sense gratification. Dedicating ourselves with body, mind, and words to the service of the Lord, and hearing the Krishna message, the Krishna sound vibration, that will purify the heart, chaita, dharpana, marjana. And in the mature stage, all of these things will be revealed. Is that okay? Yes.
What I have realized that while doing a morning worship and chanting, the chemical equation of the body is quite in balance.
Chemical composition of the body is
in balance. Quite in balance. So the body remains cool and calm, and there is more concentration in the chanting. And as soon as the chanting is over, your worship is over, your chemistry starts changing, and your tamasic nature starts dominating you. So how to control those parameters while we have stopped doing your chanting?
Yeah, when we stop doing our chanting, then the chemistry changes. Passion comes in, ignorance comes in. So what to do about that? Yes, by practice, of course. This is very valuable, that in the morning we chant, we do our puja, we engage in our morning devotional service, and that gives us a very good situation. Now we have to practice during the other times of the day how to think of Krishna, how to be engaged in Krishna's service. The day also is different. Therefore there are different ragas also. Morning raga, evening raga, because there are different kinds of moods at different times of the day. When we start off the day, we're in one mood. When we reach the end of the day, there's a different kind of mood. When the sun rises, there's one kind of mood. When the sun is setting, there's another kind of mood. during the middle of the day there's maximum activity. So there are different moods at different times of the day. But we should try to mold our lives in such a way that throughout the day we'll be connected with Krishna. One thing is, it doesn't mean that now I've finished my 16 rounds or now I've finished my puja in the morning, so now my chanting is done. We can continue to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Even we have a, when I was working with Back to Godhead in America, we had the fellow who was our printing, our account rep, the person who was in charge of our account with the printing company, was a gentleman named Paul Blair, who was a nice gentleman. And because he was associating with the devotees, he also became influenced by Krishna consciousness. And he told us that, when it gets really rough at work, he said, I just close my doors and I take out my beads and I chant Hare Krishna. So he picked up that practice, that understanding from the devotees, that when you're in too much anxiety, when things are too rough, you can just put everything aside and chant Hare Krishna, and that balance will come, that remembrance of Krishna will come, your mind will become peaceful, and you can continue your activities. So there, throughout the day, we should try to mold our lives in such a way that we can think of Krishna. While we're driving, someone has a cassette and he's hearing transcendental sound vibrations, like CD or the latest technology, and he's hearing about Krishna. While working, he's thinking that I'm working, but something I'm going to give to Krishna. I'm not just working for my sense gratification, but I'll get some money, I'll use it for the service of the Lord. Or in his work, he's thinking, also, here's something in connection with my work, I can do something for Krishna. There's some opportunity here. I can engage my skills for the service of Krishna. In different ways, he tries to think of how to serve Krishna. Or while working, he's even thinking of how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. The example is given that there's some woman who, apart from her husband, has a lover. So, as a result, she's very attentive about her housework. When her husband comes home, he sees that she's always busy. She's cleaned the house so nicely. She's always busy, busy, seeing that the home is nice. So he has no suspicion that actually she's always thinking, when will I see my lover? When will we meet? When can we get together? Externally, she's very attentive to her duties, but internally, she's always thinking about that man. That's lover consciousness. So if that's possible in the material world, it's also possible spiritually, that we can engage in our prescribed duties, even with greater enthusiasm. But within, we're always thinking about Krishna. So it's a technique to be practiced and cultivated. Is that all right?
Just adding further, how to control your tamasic nature while dealing with people?
How to control the tamasic nature while dealing with people, with the non-devotees.
And they are more aggressive to you.
Yes. There are two things. There are a few things that could be said about that. One is that we should see with spiritual vision that they've acquired these qualities from the material nature. Actually, they're spiritual living beings, but they're bewildered by Maya. And so they're playing that I'm a big businessman, or I'm a big, I'm a shark, I'm a smart operator, I'm a this, I'm a that. Actually, they're just poor, bewildered spirit souls who've lost their way in the material world and are bewildered by the material energy. We may even take the opportunity to try to give them some Krishna consciousness. Apart from, it's not all business. you know, they'll tell us what they're interested in some material, you know, soccer or what films they watch or this or that, and we can tell them something about what we're interested in. You know, we have to listen to them, they have to listen to us also. So we may tell them something about Krishna that will uplift him. Even Prabhupada, while dealing with biggest materialistic men, even if he was bargaining for some property or whatever, he would speak to them about Krishna. So you can look for the opportunity to do that. Or simply while they're, you know, broadcasting their material qualities, you can remain transcendental because you're thinking of Krishna. And we're not going to associate with them very intimately. Our association with them is on the surface. Our intimate association is with the devotees. And our formal association or obligatory, dutiful association may be with these people, but that's just on the outside. We're not going to swim with them. Better way? Yeah, otherwise we become affected by them. If we make intimate friendship with them, we start to become like them. So we just formally be associated with them to get our work done. Prabhupada gave the example of the monkey and the alligator. Maybe you know the story, how the monkey wanted to cross the river. And the alligator said, well, I'll take you across. The monkey said, all right, good deal. But once they were out there, the alligator said that, now I'm going to kill you, and along with my family, we're all going to eat your heart. The monkey said, well, crying out loud, you should have told me. You know, because today I left my heart at home. But anyway, it's not too late. You take me back to the shore and I'll go get it. So the alligator thought, well, that makes sense. So he brought the monkey back. The monkey hopped off back onto the shore. Hari Bol. So Prabhupada gave the moral that when you go out with the alligators, leave your heart at home.
When we take up to Krishna consciousness, there is a talk normally that we are becoming aloof and we are not going out of society and we are talking less of. Some people comment like that.
That people comment that when we go out into society, where we talk less and we're less involved, and some people comment like that. It's quite a compliment. It's true.
And they regret that they lost our company.
Then you can tell them, they regret they've lost our company. You can tell them how to regain it. And just join our association and we'll get lots of company. We've withdrawn from this company because we've found better company. You can also find that better company.
Yeah. Madhurya Bhakti is supposed to be the topmost. So then mostly in India, Radha Krishna worship is not known to general people. Even in Vrindavan and even this Jaipur kings also, they established Radharani later, I believe. So originally they worshipped Krishna only.
Yes, this is confidential. This is partly, you can say this is the contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he makes this highest relationship available. It's not available just by people who are, you know, Vedic Brahmins and following the rituals. They can't understand these advanced topics of intimate love for Krishna. That's made available by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Prema Pradayate. Therefore, it's not generally known. Without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it's very difficult to understand these things.
So
And without following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis, one would actually.
People are not aware of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Hmm?
People are not aware of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
That's our work. People are not aware, so we have to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. There's a question.
Yeah. Pure devotees, are they pure devotees by birth or is it something they become?
Are pure devotees pure by birth or there's something they become? It can be either way. Sometimes there are devotees who are, from the very beginning of their lives, they're pure devotees. That means they've descended from the spiritual world, or in their past life they've already attained perfection. But then there are others who by their practice and by the mercy of Krishna are promoted to pure devotional service. So either way, either way. It's not the monopoly of those who are born in a particular status. It's open to everyone.
In South India we have mostly Krishna temples, no Radha Krishna.
Yes.
Radharan is not there.
Therefore we're opening Krishna temples. In Tirupati, we've just opened a temple at the bottom of the hill. At the top of the hill, of course, Lord Venkateshwara is there. And now at the bottom of the hill, there's Radha and Krishna and the Ashtashakti, eight principal gopis. So it's quite a different darshan. And the Tirupati Brahmanas, who are the confidential servitors of Balaji, were leading the performance of the rituals for installing the deities. And they were actually very enlivened. You could see that what a great time they were having performing these installation ceremonies. Because they saw, you know, you don't get this in the normal, you know, Vedic rituals and everybody's sitting and they're seriously chanting, Sahasra Shirsha, Purusha, Sahasraksha, Sahasra, you know, they're chanting all. And here they came down to the ISKCON temple and there are 7,000 devotees chanting and dancing and completely in ecstasy chanting Hare Krishna. And some of them also were also equally expert in the rituals because some of them are, you know, South Indian Brahmanas coming from Brahmana families and they've taken up this Krishna consciousness. So they knew all the rituals also, and the Brahmins were, whoa, this is great. They really, you know, they were having a wonderful time. And the during the ceremonies, the one sannyasi came, who keeps the keys to the altar of Lord Venkateshwara. Nobody can serve the Lord without going through him, because he has the key. This is a very old tradition, that he holds this very distinguished person, devotee, has the key to the Lord's altar. So he was invited to come to the temple during the ceremonies to offer his blessings. And, you know, you come, you offer your blessings, you go to the next program. But he was so appreciative that he just came and stayed. And then again he came the next day. And he said that I've heard about ISKCON. He said, but now I'm seeing what is ISKCON. So in this way, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grace, this worship of Radha Krishna and whole Vrindavan scene is spreading all over India, all over the world. You know, what to speak of no temples of Radha Krishna in South India. How many were there in Paris or New York or London or Kenya or Australia or Russia?
But Prabhupada said, though we established Radha Krishna, we're worshipping in the form of Lakshmi Narayana.
Yes.
Except Vrindavan is Radha Krishna.
No. Vrindavan also is Lakshmi Narayana. We're worshipping Radha Krishna But with the respect that's offered to Lakshmi Narayan. Why? Because who are we to enter into the mood of Radha and Krishna's pastimes? Actually, in Vaikuntha, the Lord is worshipped with great respect, great veneration. And in Vrindavan, they don't give a damn. You know, they don't care who Krishna is. They'll climb on his shoulders. They'll complain about him. The gopis, the elderly gopis, get together, and you know, this boy is doing this, and this boy is doing that, and he's such a nonsense, mischief monger. So in Vrindavan, there's no such respect, no respect for this person at all. But we're not on that platform. They have no respect because they have such overwhelming love that it's what can you say? It surpassed respect. It surpassed respect. That level of love is so high that respect is left behind. But our position is that in the material world we have no respect. Because we're puffed up about how great we are. We're looking for respect, you know, what about me? So we're not higher than respect, we're lower than the position of respecting Krishna. So we have to be trained to respect. But here's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Here's his internal energy, Srimati Radharani. Here are his various potencies in the form of gopis or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Prabhu, Srivas Pandit, Daita Prabhu. In this way we have to be trained to appreciate that here's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then from there you can go on to the next platform. But if we skip, then it's a mess. Well, if you skip a stage, then if you and try to reach the higher stage, then it becomes a failure. One of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, Srila B.R. Sridhar Maharaj, he said that if you try to skip some stage, the part you've skipped, it'll remain hollow. You know, like if you build a building or build some structure, but something is hollow instead of having support columns and everything. What happens when you get to the higher stages?
Collapse.
So we're not meant to skip, just the way these Bhagavatam reciters, they just skip right to the Rasalila, and they don't care first canto, second canto, third canto. That's, you know, not popular. No. So we're being trained how to worship Krishna, how to serve Krishna in a respectful mood, as in Vaikuntha. So the Vaikuntha Pati is there within Krishna. Although Krishna is there, Radha Krishna, they include all the incarnations. So Lakshmi Narayan is there. Who's Lakshmi Narayan? They're Radha Krishna, but in the mood of awe and reverence in their worship. So although we're worshipping Radha Krishna, actually we're worshipping them in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan, so that we can be gradually promoted to in proper growth of Krishna consciousness. All right, shall we stop here?
Okay.
Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.